Our question, real grace. What is real grace? And real grace, are you living it? And bring up the PowerPoint here. We'll go to the next one. We got our verse from Romans 8, 1 through 2. Let's read this together, church. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Amen? All right. These facts come out as we live life. You kind of realize this. We all have sinned. We all make mistakes. And the facts come that we all need grace from one another, mostly from God. And as we journey through life, we're under construction. Last week, we talked a little bit about the old focus of the Old Testament, about where things came from, and the old wine we talked about the rich young ruler who came and said, you know, what good things can I do? What works can I do to gain eternal life or be saved? And Jesus comes with this whole new wine thing, this whole new focus, is saying, hey, it's not about what you can do, it's about what God can do in your life. The focus switches from me to God. And we've been going through Romans. It's been a little bit slow. We got to Romans chapter 3, verse 20 through 24. There we go. Therefore, there's this new thing. No one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, he became conscious of sin. But now, this new thing's happening. A righteousness from God, apart from the law, apart from what you do and your good works, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace. We love that word, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. It's not about us. It's not about our good works and everything we do. It's about Jesus and what He does in our life, His work on the cross. And we talked about how a lot of times we find that grace, Jesus has saved me, and we're kind of going through life, but we have these old traditions, these old ways, and we keep trying to stick this new grace into these old ways and old traditions, but both get broke. Both get ruined. And that's why we're saying we looked at our worship time, we looked at our behavior, even our sin, habitual sin, about our relationships, about our church, things we need to begin to change with this new grace. Not only will we change, but the things around us will begin to change. Our culture will change as we begin to live in this freedom which God has given us in His new grace. Going through Romans, I'm trying to move on a little quickly here. We got to chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Open your Bible, chapter 4. And Jesse, let's hit that. Here we are. We're going to talk a little bit about Abraham. And again, for the Jewish person, their belief is that I'm justified by the works that I do, by observing the law. If I can observe enough law, if I can do all the things of the work, then I'm justified, I'm saved. I'm made righteous before the Lord, and I can stand before Him. When Jesus are saying something different, it's about our trust in God. It's about our trust in the grace and the sacrifice that He makes for us, His works, our trust in Him and all that He does, that we can stand before the Lord. So, of course, the Jewish person, when they look at Abraham, they get their cue from him. So Paul's going to redirect us exactly who Abraham is. Paul says, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter about this whole grace thing, about this trust thing, about this works justify us thing? What's going on? What did Abraham discover? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God. He trusted God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. He earned it. However, to the man who does not work, but trust God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited to him as righteousness. And again, when he says doesn't work there, it doesn't mean go out and get a job. It means that I'm working to justify myself. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man who God credits righteous apart from works. And it's interesting that as we look at what David said, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord never counts against him. He says that man who becomes righteous, who is blessed, this righteousness, this justification is connected directly to salvation or forgiveness of sins. So we keep this all in context as we begin to look and look at the first two verses here. What then shall we say about that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, what could he do? He could boast. He had something to boast about. Whoa, look at me. Did you see that works? That's pretty normal for us. It's what we can do. When we look at this word boast, something to boast about, in the Greek, it's connected to the word glory. What I glory in, or something I glory about. And so if we actually read that, we look at that verse and it says, if Abraham was justified by works, he had something to glory about. Look what I did. Can you see me? Who's he pointing to? Himself. When we boast, we could say we glory in ourselves. During worship, what were we doing? Were we boasting? Were we glorying? It wasn't in ourselves. It was in the Lord. But a lot of times when he's talking about this works that I do, where does the glory go? It goes to ourselves. What's the scripture say about glory? It says that all glory is reserved for only one. For God, for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We could say that in the heavens, I kind of like this word, that they dance. And when they dance, their dance is for the Lord. They're boasting in the Lord and what they do. Revelations 4:11. You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will you were created and have their being. Revelations 5:12, in a loud voice he's saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and on the sea, and all that is in them, singing, to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. What Paul is saying here is that when Abraham looked at things and he says, did he say I'm justified by my works? No. Did he say I'm going to boast in everything that I do? No. But the fact is, when we boast in our works, when we start to look at life as living by works, as observing the law to justify ourselves, to bring ourselves salvation, however you want to look at it, we begin to boast. It's just natural for us. It just comes very natural that when we're working and we're doing good things, we start to, yeah, did you see that? That was pretty good, huh? And our pointing goes right back to ourselves. We're boasting and we glory ourselves. I did it. Look at me. Did you see that? When we need to be saying just the opposite. Did you see what God just did through me? Did you see that? The pointing heads the other way, heads towards Jesus. The other thing that I would say is that when we live by the works, when we begin to say, these works, they got me a foot into heaven. They kind of justified me. Did you see that? And we begin to become a thief. We actually try to step into heaven. We take that glory away from the one that it's only reserved for.
only for God. It'd be like my wife, you know, stepping up and she receives the Best Mother Award. And I step in, I jump up out of my seat and say, yeah, but, you know, at home I washed the dishes. I did. Not always, but then I changed some diapers. All of a sudden, what am I doing? I'm saying, look at me, don't look at my wife. Now, it's not a fact that I didn't do those things, but all of a sudden we start to point to ourselves and we begin to steal the glory away. You know, we got a lot of boasting in our culture today. And maybe some of you guys know this. I love basketball. I know Stephen loves basketball. Some of you other love basketball. They just had this Sprite 2009 slam dunk contest. This is Nate Robinson. He won. He beat Superman. They actually had this thing going on. You know, he's kryptonite. Superman is what, Howard? Dwight Howard. So he jumps over Dwight Howard and dunks it. And you know what he does after he dunks it? He does his dance. You know, and when he dances, who's it about? Himself. How many of us do a dance in our hearts? We do a dance and we come out and say, look at me. You know, and this stuff is contagious. My little boy, he started playing basketball, YMCA, first time. They score back, they run down the court like this. You know, and I'm like, where did these kids get this from? I never, you know, okay, well, maybe I did a little bit. But these kids, they're just pointing, you know, like, to me, look at me, look what I did, it's all about me. We don't remember that from the past so much. Everybody does a dance. They steal the glory away from the Lord. You know, you go to the weight room and the Y, and guys are in front of the mirror. They're not like thinking about the Lord. Yeah, Lord, you are awesome. They're like, you see that? You know, we get all this glory thing coming that just points at ourselves, and our culture is just full of it. You know, but it's just this whole thing about where do we point? What do we dance for? And I would submit that when Paul comes and he says, hey, let's take a look at the father Abraham. Let's look at what he did. You know, the Jewish people, you guys are all thinking that it was about, you know, his works and, you know, observing the law and everything he did. And that stuff's good. But it doesn't get us where we need to go. And I would submit that Paul, that Jesus, when they come in the New Testament, they're saying there's a new thing going on. And a lot of times, we as Christians, we in the church, somehow subconsciously, we just begin to rest and depend on our good works. And somehow it just fades into the way, somehow that, yeah, it's Jesus. It's Jesus and His good works. About what he did. We a lot of times in the church, we boast in ourselves, our good works. We glory in ourselves. And we would say, no, I'm not doing that. But when we get that fine line about stepping into that works and thinking about ourselves, we do. We start boasting in ourselves. And I hate to say it, it just becomes natural. I love it when the players, when the football players, the basketball players, and they do something, they point to the Lord. I'm sure inside they feel good, that they're like, whoa, this was awesome. Did you see that? But they want to say, but there's someone bigger than me. There's more to this life. And I want to point to the one who did that. He is the one that gave me that skill. Easy for us to fall into the works-oriented life. Why? Why is it easy just to start dependent, resting, and trusting in our works, what we do? One is it feels good. We just got to admit it. It feels good. I mean, when we do something good and people begin to pat us on the back, praise us, exalt us, it feels good. But when we talk about the grace culture, when we talk about what Jesus has done, grace exalts God. So there's a difference. You know, I love doing this trick where I take a toothpick and I put a spoon and a fork together, and then I balance it on the outside of a cup, and then I light both ends of the toothpick, and they burn all the way down, and that thing's just teetering on the very, very edge of that toothpick on each side. You know, I was thinking about this morning. You know why I like to do that and why I like to show people that? Because they're like, hey, Kurt, pretty cool. You know, but when you think about that, I'm not cool. It's just a fact of physics, how things work, how God created things. And I can point to Him. But a lot of times we fall in this works-oriented because it feels good to us. A lot of times we fall into the works-oriented because we can measure it. And the things that we can measure, we can justify us. No, did you see what I did? That was enough. You can't condemn me. You can't talk bad about me. I got to that point where I can justify myself. I can measure what I did. Grace. Grace is different. Grace doesn't measure. Praise the Lord. If grace measured everything that we did, we would all stand condemned and judged. None of us would measure up. None of us would be justified. But we just don't get it. We live in our works. A lot of times we do the work thing because if we do enough works, we won't feel guilty. I did enough. I can't be condemned. I'm not guilty. I have the right to stand before you because of what I did. Grace is different. Grace takes all of our rights away and say the only reason you stand there is because of Jesus. We don't like it when our rights are taken away. We like works because it's fair. We like to come and say, hey, look, he did it, she did it, he didn't. I'm in. This is fair. This is not. We have a parable in the Bible about workers who come to a vineyard. Guy has a vineyard. You know, it's basically God and the world. And he says, hey, I need some helpers. You come on in early in the morning. I forget what time exactly it was. We'll just say 9 o'clock in the morning. You come in. You work. I'll give you a denarii. I'll give you your pay. Deal? Deal. He starts working. Says he needs more work. 12 o'clock, goes out and gets some more people. You come and work for me, still needs more work. Goes out 3 o'clock, gets some more. Goes 5 o'clock, come on in, work some more. At the end of the day, he calls them all of them, 1, 2, 3. The guy that was hired last at 5 o'clock, and he says, here's a denarii. Guy in the next in the line, he's like, hey, I must be getting a bonus. You know, Wall Street, bonuses, always come in. No matter whether things are good or bad, that's just fair. That's just what is right. I earned it. Next guy, here's a denarii for you. What? The same for you who came at 12, a denarii. For you who came at 9, a denarii. And what did they do, the last guy? He grumbled. He was angry. He was mad. I'm saying, I'm with this guy. That was not fair. Did you see how much I worked? Did you see how much I did? I earned it. I have the right to have more. This is the works oriented. And the one comes and says, this is my vineyard. This is my money. All belongs to me. Don't I have the right to bless the first person with just as much as the last person? Grace is different. Another thing about our works is just when we work, we're in control. I'm sorry, a lot of times I can become a control freak. I've kind of stepped out of it now, maybe too relaxed. Some of us are extreme control people, but the fact is when we do our works, we know we are in control. We have placed things where they need to be. We have done what needs to be done, and now things are okay. But with grace, it takes the control out of my hand and says, this is a gift. I gave it to you. God is in control. Before we go on to this, just to restate our points, that when we live by works, by doing good things in order to achieve, in order to save ourselves, and we're talking about salvation here, a lot of times we begin to glory in ourselves. When we live by works, this thing happens where it just slips into our mind and our heart, where we begin to become thieves and we steal the glory away from the only one it was reserved for, Jesus. We ask the question, how do we battle this desire just to live in this good works and always, achieve and juggle the balls and be set right and be in control for our salvation that in our Christian mind we believe it's totally linked to, so then we can enter heaven? How do we escape that? And what is our response to grace? Romans 4:3 gives us the answer. This is what Paul's heading towards. He says, what does the Scripture say about this issue? I added that. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, as he was saved. Believe. A lot of times we look at this word believe, and we think it's a mental thing. Believe. The force is with me. It's a mental, intellectual, just got to think more about Jesus. It's coming. Okay, no. This is not just a mental thing. Believe is to trust. And as we trust, it's a physical action. Now, what Paul's talking about here with Abraham is he's talking about back in Genesis. You guys remember studying Genesis for the lordship of Jesus in our lives? Talking about him. And it says to God comes and says to Abraham, a son coming from your own body will be an heir. He took Abraham outside, says, hey, you see those stars? Look at all those stars. You will have that many who inherit. Heirs will be that many. And they said, Abraham believed the Lord, and he was credited to him as righteousness. He said, you'll have a son. And then they were struggling because, Sarah, she was pretty old. She was past age. She really wasn't much hope of having kids. What was she going to do? What were they going to do? Hey, we're going to work for it. Work to get that kid. No? Still, couldn't get a kid. What's the problem? What's going on? God's working in their heart. He's setting a lordship thing. He says, I'm going to take away all your works because you're not in control. I'm going to take away the heart to be independent. I'm going to take away all of that boasting and pride. It comes from all your works. The look at me, the point to me. And all they could do was to hope, was to trust, was to depend on God. And through their hoping, their trusting, their depending on God, it brought glory to God. That is so strange. That is so against who we are. I just hope and trust and depend on God, and then it glorifies Him? That's interesting. But it's this hoping and trusting that Paul is saying that justifies us, that makes us righteous before God, that sets us as saved. Correct response to grace is to believe. Is to trust. In our outlines, I don't know if I've been following along there, but write that word in there. Believe, to trust, to depend. Now, why does God want us to trust and depend on Him? Because I think when we trust and we depend, it makes us humble. That's the next thing to write in your outline. Humble. I love the verse that says in 1 Peter 5:5, God opposes the proud, but gives power to the humble. No, didn't say power. He gives glory to the humble. No, it doesn't say that. He gives strength. No, it doesn't say that.
gives grace. Whoa, what's up with that? I wanted power and glory and strength, and he just gave me grace. But there's a lot more power and grace than we understand, because it keeps us humble. It's this circular effect. It's not about me. Look at the right I have. I earned it. Look at me. I'm independent of all others. I am in control by the works that I did. I am not feeling guilty at all because I did this list today. It's all about me. That doesn't keep me very humble. Grace keeps us humble. When we trust in ourselves, when we depend on ourselves, that's what happens. We get puffed up. Look at me. One word comes out. Hi, I'm prideful. You see me? Hey. Hey. All right. That's the way it works when we trust in ourselves. We say that pride is the only disease that makes everyone sick but the person who has it. Pretty soon you find yourself, you're the only person in the room. Everybody else wants out. That's what happens with pride. You know, and we got to be careful, because a lot of times in different cultures we do it different ways. You know, Western culture, we're like, hey, look at me, I'm doing the dance. Woo, hey. Asian culture, we're more inside, you know. I am good. Did you see that? Ooh. Both ways it can kind of work out. And I would say that with those dances, you know, there's something in us as humans. We want to work. We want to do. God has created this way, in a sense. But where do we point? Where does it come back to? And I would say we need to work that out. And I say that's why we are here today. That's why we worship the Lord. We want to boast. We want to do something. And why wouldn't it be better if we're going to boast in the Lord? To lift our hand because we want to do it, right? Yeah, praise the Lord. I mean, praise me. No, yeah, praise the Lord. Okay, it's working out better. I'm going to lift my hand. It's kind of natural. No, it's not. Okay. Or clapping. You know, this thing of, instead of, you know, being outside and doing our dance for ourselves, to do the dance here on Sunday. Say, I want to boast in the Lord. Yes, He saved me. Yes, He set me free. He's changed me. And we begin to move and we begin to boast in the Lord as we worship. We do the Jesus dance. To believe is how we need to respond to grace. To avoid just living that pulls us into, I have worked, I have done it, okay, I'm good, I'm safe, I'm not guilty, I'm okay, I've earned it, I'm independent, it's about me. Wait a minute, this isn't working out. Okay, I got to get back over here. I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm trusting in the Lord. I've been talking too much and time has escaped. Second part of that is be humble. Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves, the gift of God. Gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. When we trust in God, I would very much say that we glory in God. But when we begin to live by works, we glory in ourselves. That's right. That's what I just said. All right. Romans 4, 4 through 5. We'll try to get this all in today. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. A lot of these words are big. We may not understand them well. I'll help us to understand. However, to the man who does not work, and he's not talking about somebody who doesn't go out and get a job. This is not a promotion for us all to stop working. No. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, that's the focus, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited to him
as righteous. What it's saying here is that when we work, when a man's work, his wages or his payment is not given to him, not credited to him as a gift, but as earned. Through our works, I am now obligated. I have the right to. I have earned my payment. Are you hearing the word earned? It's not a gift. But when a man trusts in God, he believes, he has faith in God, he receives a gift, a righteousness, a salvation, a justification. Now, there's a big contrast here, and this is what Paul's trying to set up. He's saying, I worked for it. A person who works, he works for it. He earns it. He may now boast. It's about me. It's mine. And it comes down to this, I saved myself. But the opposite is, I trusted God. I believed and had faith in God. God worked. God earned it. I cannot boast. It's about Him. He saved me. And I call this a big shift. You guys like big trucks? Big shift. I know Dan likes the manual. Shift in. We need a big shift. And when I thought about this, I'll explain a little bit later. But working is a lot about shifting. And we're shifting from work to grace. I worked for it, and we do the big shift to I trusted. Have you made that full shift? I earned it. I received it is what grace is about. God earned it, not me. Boasting and glorying in myself to the shift of true grace, boasting and glorying in God. Paul's saying that a person who is justified by works will say, I saved me. A person who is trusting in God will say, God saved me. Focus is a shift, a change. It's all about God. For some reason, when we were worshiping, my mind went back to when I worked on the farm and we got to drive the tractors, big tractors, a lot of horsepower. Didn't really think about it. I just did my job. But there's times where we would have to take the tractor and we'd be going through some really hard soil. And we'd have to shift down. And we get into the torque factor and it's working more. Pretty soon that thing would bog down. You'd have to shift out, shift even lower, pump up the throttle, let her go. Come up, wheels in the air. Oh, it's pretty cool. Going down through the field. You're like, whoa, farmers have that much fun? Yeah, sometimes. Not about fun. Just about getting your work done. So a lot of times what we would have to do is you'd have to go out to the very front of the machine, the tractor, the big wheels in the back, the little wheels in the front. You'd hang weights on the front of that tractor so the front would stay down. But you think about our working and you're shifting, you shift lower and you work more. But what you always want to do with a machine is get it to its optimal operation range where you're on the cruise mode. And it's still working, but it's a lot easier for the machine and going through the field. How about you? Are you still in that area of your life where you're in that lower gear and it's just grinding, it's working? And somehow you can't move to that upper gear. It's not smooth. As your works, you just feel like you're hanging more weights on the front. Just, I got to work more. I got to do this. I'm feeling a bit guilty. I got to work more so I won't feel guilty. I got to juggle more for then I won't be judged. Accomplish more and then I'll be accepted. God's saying, no, this grace is a new thing. There's a big shift, and we want to get it to the optimal working, and that's where grace comes in, and that's where we live. Because the Spirit of life has set me free from the spirit of sin and death. My wife and I were talking on the phone I'll pay you later, honey, so I can use you as an illustration.
What was wrong with my mouth?
And we were talking about this. I struggle. I don't know if you guys struggle, but you know, man, I didn't do it right. It's about me. If I would have just done this. And tug of war goes on in my heart. And she said, you know, when I think about it, it's not so much of what we do or how much we do. It's about how much we trust Him. I can't really grasp all that in my mind. I kept trying. Yeah, trust Him, trust Him. No, I got to do. How about you? Can you grasp that? About trusting Him? The first step that He has saved you? That He set you free? To trust Him to work in your life? Things will start coming. Gear will be put in the right gear. You'll start to cruise. Work will still be getting done. You'll still be tilling that field. Sometimes the ground will get a bit harder. You might have to shift down. But we don't want to stay in the works area. We always want to get back to grace. Always back to grace. Trusting in the Lord. And then we will be credited when we stand before the Lord as righteous, as saved, as justified. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You today, God, confessing that sometimes we get consciously and subconsciously just stuck in our works. We begin to try to juggle so we won't be judged and accomplished so we'll be accepted. So that we won't feel guilty. God, it's so difficult for us to just take that step every day to trust in You, to trust that You will work it out. And as we trust God, it's amazing how we begin to cruise. We're still working, we're still tilling. But God, we're resting and we're depending on You. God, for different people here today in different areas of their life, in different levels, Lord, I ask that You would help them to shift different areas of their life to where they need to be. Help them to make that biggest shift, God, just to resting in Your grace. God, I pray that You would also shift our church, our thinking, understanding, God, that those we meet, they would be seen but through grace. Lord, we praise You and thank You today. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Get a look at our